This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll on into hour number 2 of the 3-hour big show. Barry is in Wichita.
Is
Wichita, was Wichita the first stop?
Yes.
So Wichita, then OKC, then back to H-Town.
Correct.
But this is a long venture for you. What's the total duration of the trip? Like 10 days?
10 days. Yeah, 10 days. I left, when did I come up? Thursday? Yeah, I drove up Thursday, and I'm coming back this coming Sunday.
Okay.
Living in a hotel will probably get, on the 6th or 7th day?
But you're living in condos, in residences, right?
I'm in a condo this week, and then when I drive down to OKC, it's actually a 3-bedroom house. This is one of the few clubs in the area that's, you know, within driving distance at least, that actually does that for you. El Paso, they put you up in a hotel. Everybody else, you're on your own. Like, they don't give you a hotel or a condo. So I end up staying with family or friends or just getting my own. So yeah, it's actually kind of nice. Just a little creepy. It's weird being in this condo, which is in a really just a business kind of downtown building, with all the crazy. I saw a lady this morning sitting on a park bench crying because she couldn't light her cigarette. And she didn't have a cigarette. She had a straw or something in her mouth. And I was like, well, you know, I think I know why you can't get any smoke out of that, ma'am, because it's not smokable. So
there's a rehab clinic nearby.
No, just a lot of homeless folks. I don't know why so many homeless folks are attracted to the city. I don't understand. I was talking to the host, this chick named Megan. She was our host for the week, and she's really cool, but like, she's kind of eclectic. She's kind of a hipsterish, you know, nose ring, lots of tattoos and all that. And I was like, why are there so many homeless? Is it just because the area that I'm in downtown? Am I in the hipster area? She's like, yeah, it is. But we do have, a high number of homeless, and she's not even sure why. She's just, for some reason, maybe just people run out of money halfway across the country to LA or New York, and this is where they land. She wasn't sure.
Well, when you were on your run, the first thing that came to mind was Sacramento, because like I told you guys, Sacramento after 8 o'clock at night, the homeless population like triples, and they all come out of the woodwork like a Thriller video. And I don't know why Sacramento, which is the capital of California, but it was always bizarre because we always stayed right nearby that area, and we all laughed about the same thing. It was like crazy. Like, you wouldn't see anybody, and then all of a sudden you'd see everybody as the sun was going down. So yeah, I don't get it. News of the day, by the way, and we have someone down at the press conference. We'll let you know what the Rockets are up to. But news of the day right now, the Carolina Panthers have fired general manager Dave Gettleman, effective immediately. The move coming just 9 days before the Panthers are scheduled to report to training camp at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And the team offered no immediate reason for his dismissal. He has, however, parted ways with several of Carolina's all-time best players in the last several years, including wide receiver Steve Smith Sr., running back D'Angelo Williams, and, of course, cornerback Josh Norman. And let's just say ex-players, like some of the ones mentioned, Barry, not too disappointed that the Panthers made this move.
No, like Steve Smith even tweeted out, all right, you can take the Panthers off the list of teams that I won't. It was D'Angelo Williams who said that. He said, I want to publicly say Panthers is off my list of teams I won't play for due to the firing of that snake, Dave Gettleman. Boy,
yeah,
those are strong words.
No question, because again, to remind people, last week, D'Angelo Williams, who's one of the all-time great running backs in Panthers history, said that there was a handful of teams that he would not play for, and the Panthers were on it. So to say that he's lifting it gives you a little bit of an indication that, hey, There might be reason for, or we might be able to pinpoint the reason for his animosity.
Yeah, and of course, the way he let Steve Smith go wasn't great. So Steve Smith tweets out, it's okay, Dave. I know how you feel.
Yeah, and Josh Norman had the quotes around the bug eyes looking at the tweet, and then an emoji, basically, I believe.
Like,
Yeah, going, scratch your temple.
That's the thinking emoji, I believe.
Okay. So,
maybe he would be considering coming back if possible. I don't know.
Well, he got that big deal with Washington, so I'm sure he's sticking around. Wow. But Williams is free. He could go. And if you want to try and get water out of a turnip and get one more year out of Steve Smith, go ahead and give that a shot. That might help.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I would do that.
No. That guy's also not exactly a favorite in the locker room from what I've heard. But Carolina, it's just a little strange. 9 days before camp and you make that change. That's something you would think you would have done somewhere deep in the off season, where you have some time to kind of get everybody, you know, in their new positions, roles, hire someone new if you have to, but be prepared to roll on. But he's already gone through the draft. I mean, he drafted his guys, I'm assuming. So that's kind of, the timing's a little awkward.
Well,
hey,
something happened. I'm sure we'll find out. I mean, I haven't seen any specifics. Of course, I was more interested in the player reaction than the bombshell of it happening so abruptly, but I'm sure there was something that was leaked or will be leaked about why it happened. But yeah. I don't want to switch gears too much, I just saw this headline, and did you see where Ice Cube apologizes to the Big Three fans
for
late Iverson scratch? What did you think was going to happen with a bunch of old dudes?
Right. And we've seen the injuries piling up, but I saw AI put out a video midday yesterday just giving all the fans in Philly a heads up way before and ahead of time, going, you know, my doctors told me that I can't play and that it's not smart for me to play, so I'm not going to play. But, you know, it hurts me, and I know how much the fans have meant to me. And he did this whole video. So I figured, you know, people can accept that. I mean, it's not like his choice to just skip it. He had a legitimate reason.
The doctors told him to stay in bed. I wish the doctors would tell me that.
But yet he said, and I don't know, I didn't see it, Nick and Barry, if you guys saw it or know, then please let me know. But I didn't see the actual event. But he said, I will be on the sidelines. I will be coaching against Dr. J. I want to be there, but you know, I'm not going to be able to play. So I don't know that he stayed in bed.
I'm really worried about turning 42 if they're telling Allen Iverson to stay in bed. That's my concern.
Well, but he got hurt playing 3-on-3. You didn't get hurt. You just hustled.
I just think it's crazy that all these, like, you would think, that despite them being retired for whatever, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they're still staying in shape, and they're not going to...
15.
Well, they're not going to push themselves that hard knowing that, though. Like, okay, you've been out of the league 15 years. Are you going to push? I guess the competitiveness never goes, I guess. But it's just crazy. Like we see, like, you play with people above the age of 40 all the time, and they're never getting hurt, right?
For the most part. I mean, you do see some guys that get hurt. But
yeah, if you have bad shoes, you get a bloody pinky toe.
So you want to hear the breaking news? Yes. Of Les Alexander is selling the Houston Rockets.
You're lying.
Yeah, John just came in and told me.
That's the breaking news. The Rockets are for sale.
That's according to the presser that's going on right now. Les Alexander is selling the Houston Rockets.
Joel, what's your immediate reaction? Immediate. Go. Say it. Whatever's on your mind.
Wow, wow, wow.
No one thought
that. Here is a guy that basically has all the money in the world, has his entire life has been set up by smart, savvy business decisions. He doesn't have anything to worry about in life except for his baby, which is the Houston Rockets. I mean, this is why he engages so much in everything from the business to the basketball, that it means so much to him. For him to say he's stepping away, that's shocking to me.
Do you think there's a buyer in place?
What'd you say, Nick?
You think there's a buyer in place? You think there's someone already in place? Or do you think he's just making a decision now?
See, here's the thing. Regardless of whether there's a buyer in place, I just think when you have as much money, and I know he saw what the Clippers sold for, and he's seen, you know, with the value of franchises, especially when they are associated with a building as well as the team itself, that he's going to make a huge profit. He's going to make a huge profit anyway. I think he paid something like $53 million for the team when he initially bought it. And now when you look at Forbes and some of the other articles that come out, I mean, the franchise is valued at upwards of, you know, $1 billion. So, I mean, it's close. It's between $500 million to $1 billion. It's a lot of money. Right? And he's going to make a huge profit 10 times over from what he paid for it or more. So for me, it's like, you know, you have that value. It's an investment. So why are you going to walk away from it? Something doesn't seem right, because it seems like this is what all that guy really wanted to do, is focus on the Rockets. It's shocking.
Are you implying that? Well, I'll just say this. I hope it's nothing health related.
Exactly.
I do hope that this is just a business decision and that he has his health. And I figured you would have went one of two ways. Oh, that sucks, or oh, that's great.
No, you because you know what? Way there. See, personally, I've never had a problem with Mr. A. Mr. A has always been nice to me. And like I said, and I appreciated his ongoing passion for the city and for the franchise. I mean, some people can, you know, disagree with things, and people that don't know his background don't understand some things. But the fact of the matter is I never questioned his passion to do what he always set out to do. A lot of people can set out mission statements and then just use it as hearsay and BS. But when he says his two goals in life were to give back to the Houston community and to win championships, that's what he believed in. That's all he really cared about. And he obviously hyper-engaged on the basketball side, but he did a hell of a lot of good things for this city too. So, you know, he kept them here in Houston when Louisville was being thrown around and there was all that talk of movement if they couldn't get a building. And you and I, Barry, have talked about Bud Adams and how ownership can go wrong when they don't get their way. He toughed it out and he kept the franchise here. So I give him props. I've never had a problem with him. I'm shocked that he's selling because, like I said, to me, the Rockets were one of his biggest passions in life. What's your thoughts on it? You guys are lifelong Houstonians. What are you thinking?
I'm a bit surprised. Like you said, man, this is it's one of those franchises that has always seemed to do well. It's not, you know, it's I'm stunned. I'm
shocked.
Legitimately shocked and stunned that this dude is selling the Rockets. And somebody asked, is this fake news? They can't find anything. And it's literally just going down. I don't even think people have started writing their stories.
Yeah, there's no articles.
Yet.
I mean, next 20 minutes, you'll see it all over the internet.
John was probably just listening live and immediately ran in the studio and said, announce this so that we were one of the first ones to get it out there. But yeah, it does shock me. I real quickly Googled, like you said, you know, you were talking about money, how he doesn't need it. I just looked to see if I could find anything on the internet. I don't, but I see where he sold or tried to sell a condo in New York for $21 million, another one for $47 million. That dude's got a little bit of cash rolling around, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got million-dollar listing New York wrapped up on the Bravo channel because, yeah, those were all at big profits too. He bought them low, sold high. That's what he's done. His whole career was based on junk bond trading and quick buys, quick sells, and made a hell of a lot of money. But Calvin Watkins now is reporting it. Jonathan Fagan's reporting it. Jenny Dale Creech is reporting
it. All over Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, according it's now to this, exploded.
And according to this article, it says, this isn't Alexander's first foray into pricing New York real estate, yada, yada, yada. The billionaire, who has an estimated net worth of $1.9 billion, according to Forbes, he's worth almost $2 billion.
So that's why crazy. I'm saying, Barry, I'm not like you. I'm not speculating, but I'm saying I hope everything's on the up and up and okay because of the fact that the man does not need money. And what people that have everything need is motivation and passion. And he has that for the Rockets. He's had it ever since he's bought the team. That's why I'm a little shocked that he's selling it. The only thing I can say is for Houstonians that they hope that this is just testing the market to see what the value might be.
I'll tell you what, I don't even care who owns it. I just hope it's a good owner. I mean, as a lifelong Rockets fan, born and raised in this city, born and raised on this team, I just don't want a crappy owner. I don't care if he sells it. That's his business. Please just sell it to a good owner that's going to, you know, I mean, I would much rather have a Mark Cuban type owner than some weirdo that doesn't care about it. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with that and understand it. Having moved here just in time to see the ridiculous antics of Bud Adams, but I've seen the cheap side of things too. Now with two of the three owners in this town,
I don't want that. Who was the owner when you got here?
I got here because of Les Alexander's new regime that they hired me. But I mean, seeing some of the cheap, I saw all the BS of Bud Adams, and I was just in dismay because when you have a professional franchise, you coddle it and you nurture it and you hold on to it. And you could see that there was a divorce coming if something didn't change real quick, and obviously it didn't. But I lived through and worked through a lot of the cheap days, but I'm glad that they were able to work themselves out so that Les could be the long-term owner and there could be harmony between the city and the team. Because as you and I have talked about on the show, it wasn't always that way, and especially when the arena negotiations got a little bit testy. But he was able to persevere. Drayton's another guy that learned his lessons along the way, but ended up being a decent owner. You're right. If you get an a-hole for an owner, and especially if they're cheap or not thinking with their business cap on and also with the best business decisions for the benefit of the city and the team, it could be a disaster.
And a part of that's on Adam Silver in the NBA. He's going to have to approve the sale probably and look into it and make sure that the next owner is fit enough to
run this team.
I just want an owner that really wants to win.
Yeah, see, that's big. That's what I'm saying. I can't tell you enough how badly Mr. Alexander wants to win.
That's all I want.
Well,
just be in it to win it.
I want the new owner to come in and look at the front office and say, who's your daddy? I'm your daddy.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. When Crane bought the Astros, that was a concern of mine. He seemed like he was just going to be a guy that we're only going to make money. But they were going through a rebuild. You know what I mean? He was being cheap for a reason, and it was to put the team together now that's one of the best teams in baseball. So thank goodness. Their payroll is pretty low, all things considered. I just hope it's a guy like that and not a guy that just comes in and we're slashing everything so I can make as much money as possible.
All right.
Because that scares me. I mean, when you pay this much money for a franchise, because you know it's going to be expensive, you just don't want to see a guy come in and go immediately into cost-cutting mode.
I hear you. We got to take a quick break, but we got plenty of time to talk about it. So the Rockets are for sale. If you're buying, let us know. Well, we're interested in applying. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to, but a break to get to first. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you're just joining us, the breaking news, the Carolina Panthers have fired their general... No, I'm sorry. That has happened, but that is not the breaking news. The breaking news down at the Big Sequoia and Toyota Center is that the Rockets are for sale. Right now, we are going down the hall to see if David Gao can put in the first offer.
That'd be awesome.
That would be fantastic. But all kidding aside, I, as a former employee, as a basketball fan, as someone that knows the man, I am shocked. This is a guy... And Nick and I were talking in the break, Barry. This is a guy, when you're that wealthy and you have basically it all, you have to have a hobby. This was more than a hobby. This was passion. A family member with passion. This was a son that he never had, that he every day would dive into both the business side and the basketball side. And he would make sure that he had his finger on the pulse of everything and anything that was going on. And nothing excited him more than draft day and trades and free agency and trying to make this team better and trying to win. Because that's how much passion he had. That's why I, like you said, I'm not going to speculate, but it concerns me because he's always been that passionate of an owner.
Well, yeah. Let's just hope this is just a business decision. I did see Lamont tweet out a name immediately that just makes me go, yes, please. And that's Tillman Fertitta. I think that's the kind of guy
I want
owning.
That's what I thought first, honestly.
That's the kind of guy I want owning the Rockets or any local sports team like that. Mattress Mac, Tillman Fertitta. Name a local guy that cares about the city and the community and the team and winning and all those things. That's my hope. I don't want an out of town. And whoever tweeted me Pitbull, I hate you. If Pitbull bought the Rockets, I would move. He was like, why? It was Richard Stites. And he was like, why? You wouldn't want them opening every game with Mr. Worldwide.
And think about the uniform possibilities. Bring back the t-shirts, but make them tight with sponsorship.
All the Rockets are out there playing in sunglasses and gloves like idiots. Like, what? No.
That's funny. No, Tillman, you're right, though. Tillman would be fantastic because of all the years, Tillman's a guy that gets it. He gets Houston. Remember how, and we talked a little bit about this, but remember how much of an adjustment it was for Les to understand Houston and Houston to understand Les. Les is an East Coast guy. He's a New York guy. You know, like I said, not a lot of human compassion in junk bonds and buys and sells and not worrying about like people's families and lives you're changing when you're doing hiring and firing and doing all the things you do when you own a company. And there was a lot of uneasy times, excuse me, but at the end of the day, everybody figured it out. There was that bonding period, that rebonding, and everybody, look, people are out there tweeting, the greatest owner that in Houston sports history. I don't know that because I haven't been here as long as you guys, but I got to say, he's been pretty good for the city, and the fact that he's kept the team here when there were some rough spots makes that all that much more valuable. But yeah, Tillman's the kind of guy that I would love to see take over because of the fact that he gets it. He's a Houstonian. He gets the Houston vibe, I guess.
As long as I've been alive, 43 years, I would have to say that Alexander, for me, as a personal opinion, is up there as one of, if not the best owner this city has ever seen. And the reason is he wasn't afraid to spend the money to win. You know, like he would go out and try to get the names that he thought, like bringing in Clyde when that was an unpopular move, or trying the Barkley experiment or Pippen. But he went after names because he wanted to win. At least that's the vibe as a fan.
No, get. Barry, you're absolutely right. That's what I was trying to convey, and you absolutely hammered it home. That's what I'm talking about. He, for lack of a better term, but he got off on those kind of things. He got off on trying to make this team better. His passion was he wanted to win. And of course, he tasted it from the minute he got the team, because in the ultimate lottery win, he buys the team and they win right away. And that can be a curse, or that can be a benefit. But he experienced what it was like to win his first 2 years owning the team, and then that hunger only just kept building that he wanted to taste that again. And so he did. He wasn't afraid to sit back. This is the reason why Daryl Morey's allowed to take a swing for the fence every time he stands in the box, whether it be draft day, free agency, or other or the trade deadline. And he always wants to win. So you hit it right on the head. From Pippen to Barkley to Clyde and everything in between, he's taken the risk to try and get that reward. And that's what people of Houston have to appreciate, because that's so many times what we see in sports is the owner that is afraid to push the button once, let alone numerous times, to try and hit that home run.
Yeah, well, you're right. And when Drayton McClain got here, he went out and got Doug Drabeck and Greg Swindell, and it ended up being a disaster. It was two huge moves for the Astros to go out and get a couple of what they thought were frontline starters and aces. He dumped a ton of money to get those two guys, and then they flopped, and they were terrible. And I think that kind of made Drayton McClain hesitant for a while as an owner. Now, he started to do more. I mean, give him credit for going and getting guys like Randy Johnson and putting together Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit to make a World Series run. But he was a bit gun shy in the beginning. So yeah, you hope that having James Harden, and if they can get, CP3 signed long term and build something where the next owner coming in gets a taste of success, maybe a couple of playoff runs or whatever, that would be great. Cause then you want that owner to always want to win. And to the folks asking, because I've had a few guys tweet me and text and ask, is this going to affect any moves that are, like Hunter Schmidt was asking, is this going to impact any future deals like Melo? Absolutely not. No, this is the business side of the sport.
There's a salary cap.
Getting Carmelo Anthony is between the GM. It's a GM to GM thing once the owner approves it. Now, he's going to have to take the final numbers to Alexander and say, hey, this is what's going to happen to the team. Is this, are you good with this? Because you have to make decisions that could impact the sale. But this, like you said, it's a salary cap. So it's not as big of a deal as if this were baseball and you were trying to add, a $20 million to a payroll.
Well, and the other thing is they don't have anybody in negotiations to actually finish the deal. If they had someone on the line, on the hook, then you got to pass through those kind of decisions. But because the announcement just came today, and because of the fact there's a salary cap, so everyone in the league realizes you're not going to suddenly go overpay for some guy for an exorbitant amount of money for a long period of time just to screw the deal or to alter the deal. You're not going to do that in this case because of those factors. So
are we going to break?
Yeah, we'll get back on schedule. We got plenty more to talk about, and I see calls starting to line up, so we can talk about that and a whole lot more. So we'll continue to talk Rockets and other things. Barry, Nick, and I will continue with the usual suspects. But right now, I want to tell you about the great people at American Wheel and Tire. I've known Tammy and Mike Gust, the owners of the company, for over 15 years, and I'm telling you, they're staples in the Houston area. And when it comes to wheels and tires and lift kits, off-road accessories, anything and everything you need for your vehicle, you go to American Wheel and Tire. And the reason why is they're never going to try and screw you. They're always going to be honest with you, upfront with you, and they're going to take care of you like they want you to be a return customer. Because we all know that when we've had a flat tire or we've had some wheel and tire issue and we've gone to a national chain, A flat tire suddenly turns into four other things and a lot more expense, and there's no way to really verify it, and you're left helpless and having to pay the bill. Well, these are the kind of people that I would trust my family and my friends with every single time, because they have factory wheels, they have factory tires, they also have all kinds of custom rims and tires and everything in between, and they're going to take care of you from start to finish, from where you sit and wait and what you get to watch on TV and the refreshments that they offer you, to the fact that you can always know and trust that they're going to take care of you by letting you know what the problem is, how they're going to fix it, and your many alternatives in terms of what you want to do to rectify the problem. American Wheel and Tire, conveniently located on 290 at 34th Street, and you can go to AmericanWheelandTire.com. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, I can say as I love my friends.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
One of my best friends, and I'm going to preface it like this, and I'm not going to do it, Barry, so I know how you're going to be. One of my best friends just sent out a tweet. He's only sent out two tweets in his entire life, and he's amazing. So I'm just going to say that, but people are looking at this whole thing a lot of different ways.
Wait.
I'm not doing it, and I know, yes, I can. Yes,
you can't
I can.
Do that and not tell us what the tweet is. I don't want to know who the friend is, but what does the tweet say?
No, I'm not going to stir that pot that bad.
Oh, well, then why bring it up,
Joel? Because I was laughing, like, and you said, what is it? We've done this before. Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, nice. Like, you might need to dump that.
Nice. No, it's too late for that. Nick's looking at it like, it's okay. It's Barry.
What a tease. Like, you can't tease like that. You shouldn't have just said anything.
Well, so here's the thing. So one of the things that we're finding out now, based on the announcement, is that if you believe what Tad Brown is saying at the press conference, Mr. Alexander made the decision this morning. That seems pretty quick to me. But that was part of the press conference. There's lots of tweets coming in, lots of coverage of the actual announcement. I'm concerned for the city of Houston because of the fact that this is a guy that's been 22 years of solid ownership.
What would happen if the Rockets moved to another city? That'd be crazy. I think the city would go nuts.
I don't think that'll happen.
I think, here's what I think. I think as much as Les hasn't been labeled the most compassionate guy over the years, I think one thing that he'll probably look at, because it will cement his legacy in this town even more, even though he's not from here, is I would hope that he will announce at some point that part of the plan, the contingency plan to sell the team, is one of the prerequisites is they got to keep it in Houston. I would hope that's the case. I know in Milwaukee, when they sold the Bucks and they sold it especially to an out-of-town owner, one of the prerequisites was you have to keep it in Milwaukee, simply because small market like Milwaukee, if it's gone, it'll never come back. Houston, just simply because we've been down this road before and this team means too much to this city. I hope that that's one of the contingencies.
Yeah, I mean, listen, NBA, the NBA not in Houston doesn't make sense for anyone, including the NBA. There's a lot of money to be made in this town. It's one of the largest cities in America. The NBA would look foolish to not have a franchise in the fourth largest city in the country. That just, I mean, like you said, if it, you know, but that was the concern when Alexander bought it. Oh, is it going to move this to New Jersey, or is this going to go somewhere else, Florida? What could happen? I mean, you know, it's always going to be a concern, but, you know, if Tillman Fertitta would just buy it, maybe rename it to the Flying Tortillas or whatever he's going to do, I'd be happy with that. Flying That'd be tortillas. Good.
That's racist.
Why?
I just don't think.
Doesn't he have a Mexican food restaurant? Why would that be racist? We can call him the Steaks. I don't care.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got Joe's Crab Shack. He's got Vic and Anthony's. He's got the Landry's chain. What?
Papacito's? Isn't that his?
No. That's the Pappas brothers.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm sure Landry's has a Mexican food restaurant. He has to.
All you got
to
do is say that he and his
homies. In Houston?
Just make mention of the fact that he and his homies will talk about this, and then all the targets will be completely released.
I'm leaving that for you. I really want to know what this tweet said. You can't just do that, though. That's
I can read it for you if you want.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
No. It's okay. It's
I don't
it's
have too, a tweet. I'm asking.
I know. It's too personal. But I do appreciate my friends. And I happened to open it right as we were coming back on the air. And I chuckled. And Barry's like, what's so funny? And I was like, I probably should have just said nothing. So it's my fault.
Yes, you should have. Oh, here you go. Here's the franchises. I was trying to find these. Bubba Gump Shrimp. I didn't know he owned that. I'm assuming he bought that and doesn't own it.
Okay.
This is Landry's. Mm-hmm. Landry's, right? That's Fertitta's stuff is Landry's.
Yes,
okay. So Bubba Gump Shrimp, the Cadillac Bar, Landry's Seafood House, Morton's, Rainforest Cafe. There's got to be more than that. That's all I see. That's not right.
He's okay. If I remember correctly, because they were major sponsors of the Rockets too and the Astros. But if you look at over the Crawford boxes, it's Landry's. It's Outback Steakhouses, which he bought the franchises, I believe.
No way he bought Outback, did he?
Here in Houston, or here in a portion of the Southwest, I know that.
Oh, he bought the franchises.
He owns Vic and Anthony's, Grotto.
Yep.
Willie G's.
Oh, he does own the Grotto?
Yeah, Willie G's, Joe's Crab Shack.
You guys looking at the list on Wiki? Because
no.
It's like
no, incredibly. But I just found that. So here it is. Yeah, his portfolio includes the Golden Nugget Hotel and Casino, Morton's, the Steakhouse, Rainforest Cafe, Bubba Gump Shrimp, McCormick and Schmick's Seafood and Steak, Saltgrass. How can we forget Saltgrass?
Right.
Clam Jumper, Chart House.
It's not Outback, by the way. It's Saltgrass. That was my mistake.
Maestro's Restaurants, Grotto Restaurants, and Vic and Anthony. So that's the lineup. So yeah, I guess he doesn't have a So we'll just call him the Houston Steaks then.
Yeah, and he owns
the Houston Medium Rares.
Well, the dining on his wiki page is a lot longer than that, dude.
It's he owns like the Nugget Vegas.
That's what I said.
Joe. That's the first one on the list. Okay,
and he also owns he owns casinos in Louisiana too, right?
Doesn't say.
I think the
one in Louisiana is a Golden Nugget.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Nick, what's the list that you're looking at?
I mean, there's a bunch: Atlantic Grill, Aquarium Restaurant, Griglia, which is like
La Griglia, and he does own the aquarium. Mai That's Tai absolutely
Bar,
correct.
Gandhi Dancer, Grand Concourse, Grotto. I mean, the list goes Strip House. Well, I don't know what
his net worth, $2.8 billion, almost a cool $1 billion more than Alexander's worth. That's nuts.
See, that's big because people don't, I don't think people realize that. I don't think that people understand. They always see the Rockets and they see Les Alexander and they think that you're absolutely right, Barry. But that's a huge thing that I don't think the common people of Houston really realize how big Tillman is. I mean, sure they see the TV show now, but to say that the assets and the net worth are that much greater than Les Alexander, yeah, he could do
this.
I think it'd be fantastic if he did.
I wonder think, what you think him and Mattress Mac, you think he gets in the mix? Your boys.
He has dabbled with the idea in the past from a football perspective. So I wouldn't put it past him. I can probably check in with him at some point. But Mac's a huge sports guy too, and he's a hell of a businessman. So if you can take two really solid Houstonian businessmen and secure that franchise will stay and it'll be run the right way, hey. I think that would be great. I think it'd be fantastic.
I wonder if Fertitta does make a push, which I'm sure he's going to be on a list, right? Like, let's just reach out to him and see if he's interested. Does he do it on his own or does he put together, you always make money with other people's money. That's what smart and rich people do. So I'm sure he puts together a group of people.
Yeah. Minority investors.
Yeah, it'd be good if somebody like Mattress Mac was included in that. I'd be all right with that. I just keep it in Houston.
Someone
that'd
on Twitter
great.
That's another friend of mine made a great suggestion. Maybe Yao wants to get involved. You know, Yao owns Stop the Shanghai it. Check. No, he owns the Shanghai Sharks in the Chinese Basketball League. He's been invested with Les in a wine company, both in Asia and also here in the United States. If Yao, I mean, as a minority owner, Barry, not to buy the whole franchise, but right. I could see Yao wanting to get involved.
That's insensitive. Oh, I see what you meant. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I didn't say anything about male golfers or female golfers, so let's not go too far. But
if the Rockets move, y'all probably going to have to put Kurt Lowe on suicide watch. That was a text we got. That's true.
By the way, Kurt Lowe already messaged me all upset because he said he was kidding
I call
about
him an
LeBron,
idiot?
LeBron coming to Houston. Oh. Okay, all right. We get it.
Sure. Right? Dude, with as many ridiculous tweets as he's made, that was par for the course. So
I see you guys rectifying your beef quickly. I really do.
Dude, I could tell you I care so little about if he's upset with me or not. Like, I really don't. Like,
Barry, our good friend Scott in Deer Park just chimed in, and he makes a very valid point. For all the assets for all the assets that we were talking about, the one thing that we neglected to mention was those big assets we were talking about, like casinos. Yeah, you can't own an NBA team when you own casinos. So, I'm sure there's ways that you can
say. Can't?
I don't believe so.
Okay, didn't the brothers in Sacramento own casinos?
Yeah, you're right. The Maloof brothers, unless they were grandfathered. False. You're absolutely right. Yeah. The Maloofs owned the Palm.
Yep.
The Palms in the Palm Hotel in Vegas.
That's correct, sir.
So there you go. So that isn't an issue, Scott in Deer Park. Thanks for chiming in. We're glad to know you're alive. But, I mean, you're going to have to bring more factual information. Otherwise, I'll be like guys on other stations just reading tweets and taking them for
at
solid
first
knowledge.
Glance, though, I thought it was a good – I mean, it was a good tweet. Unless they, you know, update the rules. Like every sale, they have to approve it. So, but, yeah, I thought it was – when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. You would think they wouldn't allow that, but no.
How much you think this franchise sells for?
Well, Nick and I were talking about that too, because he was looking at stats of what the Clippers sold for, and I think you have to factor in that the Clippers sold for a lot, and because it was in Los Angeles in that major media market, and you have to weigh all the assets involved in it. And again, some of the things that you have to weigh too are like the outside of what we were talking about, Barry. What are relevant are like the long term contracts for their television deal. Because of the fact right. that they have their own network with the, like, say, for the Lakers, because that network deal is huge and it's long standing with many years on it, that adds a lot of benefit. So that has to be as part of the deal and factor in. But I mean, what'd you say the Clippers went for almost $2 billion?
It was $2 billion. It was $2 billion. It was $2 billion. And I think less is. Net worth is $1.9 million. I made the assumption that it could only go up higher, right? That if the last team that, you know, went for $2 billion and it was kind of a forced sell, remember the whole Don Sterling situation, it was kind of a forced sell.
Right.
You, who knows if he was actually selling this team that it may have gone even further. But you do mention the fact that it's an LA market, it's a much bigger market, there's more money there. So I made the assumption that it would go over $2 billion, but I asked people on Twitter and a lot of people kind of agree with you, like, you know, 1.5, 1.6, 1.7.
Well,
you know.
Okay, but you have to keep in mind what is the value of the team, not what another team sold for. Because Darren Revell on Twitter was making the point, and somebody tweeted this to me, but Darren Revell was making the point that keep in mind that the Houston Rockets in the Asian market are
it's huge.
That adds a ton of money to their value as a franchise. And then Darren Revell was saying that could have an impact if Asian interests get involved in making a pitch to buy the Houston Rockets. But so I pulled up the value of every team. Obviously, the most valuable team in the NBA, I say obviously, but the most valuable team in the NBA is the New York Knicks at $3.3 billion. The Lakers are second at $3 billion. So, again, if either one of those teams were to sell, that jumps up quite a bit. According to this website, which is foxsports.com, the Rockets come in at number 8 at $1.65 billion. So, this was released February 15th, 2017. So if that's any kind of indication or where, you know, kind of a starting point for a conversation, it's less than the $2 billion. And they have the Clippers on this list, and the Clippers are valued at $2 billion, checking in at number 6. So a couple of spots ahead of the Rockets.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Look, I think you guys brought some really good names to the table. I think if you can keep it Houston-centric and you can bring a Tillman Fertitta, maybe you get, you know, a minority ownership from a guy like Mattress Mack, I think it's fantastic. So hopefully that's the case, but we're just getting started on this topic because it's a shocker to all of us and the fact that no one saw this coming. The Rockets are for sale, and we can continue to talk about it right here. Right now I'm talking to you about one of those guys I just mentioned, Mattress Mack and Gallery Furniture. Part of the reason why I'd love to see Mattress Mack get involved in an ownership group trying to buy the Rockets is because he's been a mainstay in the Houston area for over 36 years, and he's always been passionate about selling furniture and about the city of Houston and the people and their sports teams, and he's done a fantastic job. I say that by saying, look at the promotion he's running right now. You buy $3,000 or more of bedroom furniture right now at Gallery Furniture, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all free. That's the kind of guy that Mattress Mac is. That's the kind of promotions he runs. And you know he's lost these kind of bets before, and it's benefited the people of Houston who got furniture for free. That's the kind of guy Jim McInvale is at Gallery Furniture. Now with three convenient locations across the Houston area, you can go Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You can go to the Galleria location at Post Oak and Westheimer. And you can go to the mainstay at I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mac sits there at the front desk every single day. And he is passionate about making sure you get with the right people to understand your needs in furniture, and they take care of you before, during, and after the sale. That's what they do at Gallery Furniture. And as he says, no back order slips. You buy today, you get it within 3 to 4 hours. And if your delivery guys come and you need furniture taken away or moved or other things taken care of while they're there, they'll be glad to do it, because that's the way they do customer service at Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture, always a staple in the Houston community. Go out and check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you. And of course, Gallery always will save you money. This goes out to all the women
in the world. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we continue to roll on. News of the day, and it's going to be news for quite some time. The Houston Rockets are for sale. We've mentioned some of our thoughts. We've also talked about potential ownership that we would like to see, maybe take a sniff of it. But there's going to be a lot of discussion on this topic, and it's only going to pick up momentum along the way, because I don't think, dare I say, in my lifetime, did I expect, or maybe that's maybe too far, but I didn't expect for the foreseeable future, and that includes 2-3 decades. I just didn't see Les ever selling this team.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shocker. I think we should, like many people on Twitter saying, let's all jump in on this GoFundMe.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, Josh Rapp started with $100. And then Chan got involved and said he wanted to start a GoFundMe. And now all the usual suspects are lining up to contribute their 2 cents, and I sometimes mean that, to try and make a difference in the lives of Houstonians.
I like that Chan, I think it was Chan, that said, if you put in $100, I'll make you director of player personnel or something like
player
that.
Relations.
You know how you know how on a GoFundMe, they're like, if you buy the $5 package, you get a koozie and a handshake. At $10, you get a hug and a pat on the ass. Like, you know, they give you... He's for $100. You could be the director of player personnel. I like that.
Yeah, look, El Jefe.
I'm in.
Did you see El Jefe brought back the old pajama logo with the rocket ship flying around the
put a cougar on
put it. A cougar head on the top of it? And of course, Kirsten, the diehard U of H fan, came in here and said Tillman needs to just stay put in worrying about University of Houston and not buy the Rockets. I'm like, no, that would not be a good idea. No.
Yeah. No. I'm good. What the hell was I going to tell you? I was looking at the Forbes article, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got a bunch of different information about the Rockets and their franchise listed as 8. So 2 championships. The price he paid, and I don't remember if you mentioned specifically how much he paid.
I think it was 53.
$85 million.
I thought it was in the 50s, but regardless, no, he got a hell of a deal.
He paid $85 million back in 1993. It shows that the revenue is about $244 million, operating income $62. Player expenses went up to 103, gate receipts 69. It lists the metro population. What do you think it would list for the population that the Rockets reach out to? What do you think that would be? Just the Houston area?
I think, Nick, that's a pretty good guess. I was going to say,
what'd you say?
In the 2.5 million range?
6.3 million.
That's when it was for sale the first time, or?
No, this is now. This is the Rockets' current valuation from Forbes.
I didn't even know they had metro, that many people there.
The metro area population is up to 6.3 million. So that obviously has to help a little bit. Mm-hmm. They talk about like revenue per fan is at $31. So for every fan of the Rockets, they make $31 off of them.
So Barry, to your point from Darren Revelle, though, the other thing that really is, but I had a firm grasp on this when I was there because of the fact that it was so valuable to the franchise. The Asian markets for the Rockets, not, and this is since Yao Ming, but 60 plus games of the 82 game schedule just 2 or 3 years ago were broadcast. 60 some of the 82 regular season, I want you to let that digest, were broadcast on national TV in China, reaching an audience on a game by game basis of over 60 million people. You don't That's think crazy. When people say, well, I don't understand why the Rockets, when they have all these games, that the courtside signage is all in Chinese and they have all these Asian sponsors. That's exactly why.
So with that said, you don't think it could go over $2 billion for the sale? Just with that said alone?
No, because you know what else?
I think
you got to remember there's revenue
Forbes
sharing.
Has taken that into, yeah, and I think Forbes has taken that into account, though, when they do these valuations. So it's not like they're ignoring that market.
Well, I'll tell you another evaluation they did. In 2014, they valued the Clippers at $575 million. Do you know how much the Clippers went for at in 2014? $2 billion. Well,
did they really?
A team is worth as much as you're willing to. A company, when it gets down to that many millions of dollars, it's worth as much as somebody's willing to pay for it. That's what it's worth.
Now, here I wanted to see how the Rockets stacked up with the Knicks and the Lakers in a because they break down the valuation and they have like the sport itself, how much that factors in, how much the stadium factors in, how much the brand factors in, and how much the market factors in. So you know, it's interesting to see what does that Asian market mean to the Rockets versus, say, the Knicks and the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So from a market perspective, factoring into the total amount, the Rockets market is $464 million. When you look at the Knicks market for money, $1.6 billion of their total value comes from their market and $500 million from their brand. And the Rockets brand, $169 million. So it's still, even with the Asian market, it's still not competing with the likes of the Knicks, who are a mess right now.
Well,
and the Lakers are at $1.7 million for their market and almost $600 million for their brand. So
can I?
It all goes but here's into the total.
Thing. But here's the other thing. The one thing that's worth mentioning, too, and I'll give you the analogy between baseball and basketball, there's profit sharing on those exposures. So from a baseball perspective, the Mariners spent millions and millions to get Ichiro. But they knew that they controlled the television rights. So they went out and made deals with CTV, which is Chinese television, and all those different markets in Asia and Japan, all over the place, and they collected 100% of the profits. In the NBA controls that. So you, to Barry's point, you're capitalizing on the exposures you're getting with your team, with the signage, which the things. So then when you make an individual sponsorship deal with, say, a Chinese tennis shoe company like Li Ning or Anta, you get that, but you get nothing out of the broadcasts from the overall revenues, and you don't make those deals. So that's why you can't equate that to the value of the franchise from the standpoint of monetarily, you don't get money for that. But in baseball, you would. So that's where the Rockets don't profit, but they do profit by all the exposures. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did I interrupt
you? Oh, no. I'm just saying. I heard Nick in the ear, too. But, yeah, that makes total sense.
Okay, cool. We'll continue to roll on with this and a whole lot more as Barry and I break down, from our Forbes perspective, business news as well as news of the day. The Rockets are for sale. If you're buying, we can get you hooked up with the GoFundMe account. Nick is already going to be director of marketing, I believe, is the title that he wants currently. And Barry's going to be director of in-game and out-of-game entertainment. As we continue to roll on. And those titles can expand at any moment. But we want the usual suspects to buy the Rockets. If you'd like to join in, we'll get you hooked up on the GoFundMe. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the great people over at Infuse Energy. They are fantastic people that are going to get you an energy plan that is tailor-made for you, your family, or your business. And they're not going to beat you around the bush or give you the runaround or try to make a buck at your expense. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, completely 100% customer service friendly. You call, you don't get an automated system, you get a human being, and they start talking to you about your needs and your wants from an energy perspective and the schedule in which you use energy the most and the least so that they can make it so that it works for you. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan, it offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that decreases your carbon footprint. They value relationships. They're never going to try and screw you. They're going to be honest with you. And if you make a plan with them and then suddenly it seems to start, it's not working for you, or there's changes to your schedule and things need to be adjusted, they're going to do whatever they can to help you because they're not trying to screw you over. They're trying to be your long-term energy provider. Check them out, infuseenergy.com, or call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. It's Infuse Energy. Get Infuse Energy in your life.